Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise your vibration and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. If you are a consistent listener to our beautiful sister Rachel's podcast, you may have realized at this moment that I am not Rachel. My name is Alexandra Jo Hastings, and you may also recognize me from the 100th episode that she recorded, where I was in the hot seat and she was interviewing me. In that conversation, we ended up talking about so many beautiful things where I shared my journey with soul reclamation in the sense of stepping back into my ancestral lineage of healing and modalities, power, strength, and also healing the ancestral karma that flows through me and my family as a Métis woman from Canada. And after that session, we both felt like, wow, I want to interview you and turn it around. Because as Rachel is about to share with us, she too is now walking the same journey and path in healing with the earth and connecting to her own lineage and connecting to the beautiful medicines that Mother Earth has to offer us to help heal our soul and connect to Great Spirit and connect to the natural law and rhythm of this planet that goes so unseen and unrecognized by so many. So it is a true honor, Rachel, to be sitting here with you. We talked about it and then you popped up in my email and now here we are. And it's a real honor to sit and hold space for you and have a little bit of a backseat, you know, VIP experience of your journey. If you don't know me, you'll know that I stand for a lot of integrity in this space. Especially right now, it's important that as medicine people, we stand with grace. We stand with integrity, we stand with appropriation, but we also stand with love, compassion, healing, and beauty more than anything. And so it's a true honor to see you walking this path in an integral way and letting things come to you. So on that note, let's get started. Hello, how are you?
Thank you, Alex. Yes, this is so beautiful. It's very aligned to have you putting me in the hot seat and getting to be a guest on my very own show. It's such a privilege. And especially to have this conversation of plant medicine, you know, in the month of June, I interviewed such a wide variety of people on various plant medicines. And it's always been something that's intrigued me. And as I have stated to many people, like 6 months ago, Rachel, 3 years ago, Rachel, I would have been like, I'm never, ever doing that. But life has a way of showing us where we're meant to be. And so I have begun, yes, my beautiful journey with using the medicine that is here on the planet to really help us heal at a core level. And I feel very hopeful, and I that's not even the right word. Like, I feel humbled and blessed and honored and I'm so full of joy and love on such a level that I've never experienced before. And it's been a pretty amazing journey. So
yeah, it is. It turns into something quite magical. And so I'm sitting here with the biggest smile on my face, just hearing the authenticity and joy in your voice. And so let's talk about how this journey started, because a lot of people say and believe that, you know, these plants, they have spirits of their own and souls of their own. And they say that before we even sit with them, the prayer has begun, or the medicine, especially, you know, depending on the medicine that you're speaking of. You know, with Mother Ayahuasca, like the second that she comes into your awareness, her spirit is already decoding you on the inside to bring you into a space of preparation. And before we opened this recording, we talked a little bit about that, how, and you even just touched on it yourself, how this version of you in the past would have been so resistant. So I would love to know, what healing do you feel happened in you in order to bring you to this place of trust and surrender, really, to your own fears?
It's a really good question. So it kind of stems back 2017. My husband said, I'm going to go to Florida and I'm going to go do ayahuasca. And that same year, I was going to Minnesota to take my yoga teacher training, which shows how we at the time healed. I'm diving right in, like, let's go fast and furious. And I'm like, I'm going to move slow and gentle. And when he came home from that experience, the transformation that I witnessed in him was undeniably the biggest transformation I've ever seen in a human being in my life. And I started saying, everyone needs to do ayahuasca, yet I hadn't done it myself. And just what you said about, you know, that pre-ceremony, I worked with an integration coach. We had three pre-sessions, which proved to be very beneficial. She was actually on the show. That was Jamie PK. And we just had, you know, she just really helped me through really getting prepared for coming to the mat and coming to ceremony. And so when I continued on my healing journey through various modalities with a lot of energy work, light work, very holistic approach, what ended up happening was I was called to Florida. And we have an adopted son that lives down there. And I was working with him with my Restoring Harmony program and just really helping him get back on his feet. Well, he works, and that's how we met him. That's how he came into my life. Our lives was actually he held space in ceremony when my husband was with the medicine during a very hard time. And so he still works for the church down there. It is the Church of Ayahuasca, Soul Quest. And he was like, Mom, I really would love if you would go and take ceremony. And I've been in the practice of receiving, which has not always been easy. And I would also add to that, receiving without keeping score. In the past, I would receive, but like, remember, like, okay, next time I'm going to buy their coffee because they bought mine, or, you know, whatever the case was. And this has been a little different in the sense of like, this is something somebody wants to do. They want to gift this thing to me. And so just graciously receive and let it go and not have to have it be a contest, right? And so he said, you know, I have these vouchers built up and your ceremony is taken care of, and will you go? And a big part of that for me was seeing what it did for my husband and the radical shift that occurred, knowing that I trust our adopted son with every fiber of my being, that he wouldn't put me in a space that made me feel uncomfortable or that was not safe or was not in my highest good. And when I really landed with that, I realized that, okay, it's time. She's been calling me for about 6 or 7 years now, and it's time to go. And actually, Alex, you know, one thing we had talked about when I had you on the podcast was you had brought up the conversation of peyote. And when you did, it just ran a loop in my head. I kept hearing it and I didn't understand why until I was with the medicine. And then it became very clear. And something that maybe a lot of the listeners of this show do not know is I am part Native American, and I've always held that culture very near and dear to my heart. In school, I don't remember shit. Like, I don't remember where I need to put a comma or whatever, But I can tell you, and I promise you, that when we got into social studies and it was all about the Native American culture, I was all in, and I knew it like the back of my hand. I aced every single one of those tests. Give me a geography test, F. Give me a Native American test, I will pass it with flying colors, I promise you, because it was so intriguing to me, their culture and the way they lived in communion with the earth. I'm an earth sign. I love everything about nature. It's like one of the main reasons why I live in Colorado is so that I can literally be immersed in it. And so just having that connection in that way, and as you were saying about, you know, plants having that spirit, they really do. And there's different ways that ayahuasca can come to you in, or I should say, work, you can work with it when you're with the medicine. And the way that our facilitator told us was like, there's four different, like it can kind of be a movie screen that goes across the mind. It can be psychedelic, like colors and shapes and all of that. It can be a Q&A, or it can just be knowing. And for me, what I experienced was, at first, it was a knowing. I was getting not images like I could see on a camera or like on a film in front of me. It was just this, it's like your intuition. When you tap into your intuition and you just know, that's how it was for me. And then I also was able to sit in Q&A, which is so perfect considering I'm a podcast host, right? So I knew the questions to ask, and I eventually, there were some moments where I was like, kind of got lost, and she helped reorient me. But we did, we just sat and had a conversation, and it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced. So that's kind of how my journey all started, and what brought me to the mat and brought me to ceremony and to communing with her. And for future reference, when I say she or her, I'm truly referring to the medicine, because it does take on a life of its own. And it's, if you haven't experienced it, it's a little hard to maybe grasp, but it's real.
Yeah, I love that. So a couple of things I want to mention. I just, you know, I really want to honor you and your husband for doing this work together. And I really want to honor the openness to receiving members of your soul family. Like, you met your son in a ceremony, and your husband brought him home to you. And now you have this beautiful family unit that transcends any blood lineages, but it's just this soul knowing. And I have that too. And it's some of the most beautiful relations that I have. And it's a true privilege when we get to even spend one moment with a soul who we've had a family member with as a past life. And so that's really such a blessing that you're all together again. And I can feel the potency in that. So I want to honor that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing, this medicine, it's the heart medicine, you know, the ayahuasca as well as the peyote, which we can go into more, but the heart medicine with the Divine Mother that opens us up. And, you know, looping back to the question that I asked you, like, what do you feel really happened in order to prepare you to sit? You know, what I heard and what I saw of the story that you told us is that really your heart started to open to trust, and it started to transcend your ego and connect you with just the way things are. And, you know, Rachel and I are both Tao Hands practitioners, and we have a spiritual father and master teacher, Dr. and Master Zigong Sha, who teaches Tao wisdom, which is quantum physics and consciousness. And he likes to say, just going back to the part of you that's taught, that stopped taking score notes on the scores of things. And he likes to say that when we let others support us, we're actually creating good virtue for them and us, because it feels good to support others. And for a lot of us, that is part of our karmic retribution and transmuting any negative karma information from past lives into positive. It's like, we need to be of service. And so when you allow someone to be of service to you, it is both activating your worth and your self-love and your ability to receive, and you're also supporting someone else's soul's journey. And it sounds like that was really what got you into that place, your ability to you know, lean back into your feminine and see your worth as a woman and know that, you know, this is all in divine and we don't need to take scores. It's the natural harmony of the universe. You know, it's like the universe is playing a song and it's our job to duet with them, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's really beautiful. And I'm very happy to hear that you found this place of healing. And I'd like to transition this conversation into your lineage. And, you know, you mentioned to me that you found your teacher. And it's interesting as well, the peyote, it literally means shimmering heart. And it's the deer. And the deer represents unconditional love. And most ceremonies that people sit in, if they're invited into the Native American church to sit with peyote, it's a half moon altar. And this altar was designed by the abuelas, the grandmothers, to help the masculine learn how to be more solid masculine and stronger masculine for the feminine and for the feminine to truly step into their place. Even though the officers in this ceremony are mostly men, there is a beautiful feminine essence and respect in this space. And I know a lot of people who have found a lot of healing and growth in both, because you have the ayahuasca that is the divine feminine, and it's really nurturing, and she holds us in our wounds, and she holds us like a child, and she lets us be safe in whatever it is. And then you have this, I don't know if you've had the medicine yet or not, but there's this really strong masculine force that is integrity, that is strength, that is courage, that is humility, that is perseverance. And for me in my life, having them both in my life has really shifted everything that I am and everything that I offer the world. And it's empowered me as a woman. And not only that, but it's also given me a deeper understanding of the polarity of masculine and feminine, and allows me to hold deeper space for the masculine within my own heart, letting go of the traumas, and then also as a woman of service. And something really interesting about the peyote, before we go into talking about you and this new path that you found and what that's feeling like for you, is that, and forgive me, I don't know the scientific words here, but there is a compound in the peyote, in the mescaline, that what happens is the reason, you know, you go in and you sit by the fire and you talk to the fire and you just receive, you know, guidance and wisdom and support, is because what the peyote is doing is it's vibrating your cells all over at such a high level and a high rate. It actually releases the same chemicals and endorphins that happen when we orgasm in one specific space. That same compound actually gets distributed as a whole over our entire being. And, you know, because I know you have the understanding of how energy and information sits in our bodies from the soul, that positive information, you know, the negative information, the negative karma, the negative stuff, it sits in between our cells. So when things get shaken up, it gets to be released, and then the positive becomes our cells. And so that's why we experience this like inner guidance and connection with God and with spirit. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful space. And so I would love to know, I remember when we last spoke, you were actually feeling a little bit discouraged because, you know, with this day and age, it's very important to be very respectful and humble when we've been invited into these ways. But then there's also this desire, especially when it's part of your lineage, to be welcomed. And that's part of these ways as well. Medicine can be for everyone. And so I remember saying to you, like, just pray that the teacher who accepts you is going to accept you. And so I would, and you know, I already know, so I'm not going to say anymore, but I would love for you to share with your listeners what that process was like and what that prayer that you had has manifested into.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for touching on this, because I've been wanting to share this and have been trying to figure out how. So, you know, coming back to being part Native American, my mom was actually adopted and her biological father was Native. And where she was adopted, the laws were very, very strict. And so she never met her biological parents. Therefore, I never met them either, obviously. And at the age of 2, I suffered a traumatic experience, and I believe in my heart, and what was shown to me was that it's true from the age of two. So for 41 years, I've been searching for this culture, and I've been searching for more understanding. And I understand now why it's taken this long for me to finally be welcomed into that space. And it's because I wasn't ready on many levels. It's now with great understanding that I feel going into this world that I am going to be able to be as respectful as possible. I think I romanticized the culture for a long time and starting to then do my own homework on the other side of it and just really allowing to see it for what it is as a whole. And So I'll kind of go into how I met and how it really became to be that this beautiful gentleman agreed to be my spiritual teacher. My husband says to me, this was the week of May 13th, just this year, 2022. He says, "Hey, we've been invited to this barbecue with these new people that he had met." And he's like, "Well, do you want to go?" And I was like, "Well, we don't have anything on the calendar. Sure, let's go. I'm always up for meeting new people." So we go to this barbecue where I know nobody aside from my husband, and they're filming a commercial for this product that they make. And so we're like in this commercial and meeting all these people. And I see this gentleman walk up to the grill, to the fire at the grill. And I realized we came to a cannabis barbecue and I didn't have a lighter. Like, okay, way to be prepared. And he was the only one that had a lighter. And the way that I asked if I could borrow, and the way that it was given to me, and I even shared this and we laughed about it, but it was that I was met with the same response that I've always been met with when I was around that culture, the Native American culture. And it was very flippant. And okay, thank you. And, you know, here we go again. It just felt very cold. And I now understand why. I really, truly do. And through that evening, we ended up by the fire, he and I and my husband, and I had my sunglasses on, thank goodness, because at that time, I really didn't like to cry in front of people, but he would start sharing stories of the ways that he practiced and the ways of his upbringing and the ways of the Native culture. He is Kiowa and Cheyenne. And I just would start crying with every story he told. And I didn't understand. I was like, why am I crying? Like, this is something I've dreamed. Maybe that's why. It's something I've dreamed about to have a true Native share the stories with me around a fire. Are you kidding me? Dream come true. But it was more than that. There was something within the stories that was stirring emotions in me. And we kind of made our way, you know, kind of around just meeting different people. And he had some very beautiful jewelry for sale. And my husband and I were getting some of that. And we got lost in a very deep conversation. He's like, "I'm cold. Let's go back around the fire." So as we go back around the fire, he's telling, you know, sharing more. And it's just amazing. And I finally asked, I said, "Can I please share something with you?" And he said, "Well, first, I did ask, like, my husband had said earlier in the night, Rachel, you got to go talk to that guy. He's a medicine man. He's a shaman. He's a healer. He's Native American. Like, you got to go talk to him." I told him that you were going to have so many questions for him. And he said, "You can ask him all the questions you want, but you have to bring an offering." And I've heard, you know, and read in my studies so much about this offering, but I didn't necessarily know what that meant. Like, what is it? Like, to me, tobacco has always been like cigarettes, but I felt like that is, it's not a loving offering. So what is true offering? And so I did ask him, you know, I was like, you know, I hear in order for me to ask you some of my questions that I am to bring an offering, but what does that look like? And he gave me a little schooling on what that could be and what that could look like. And so I locked those little nugget in, thank you. And I just, okay, like made a note of that. And then we proceeded and I just said, okay, can I share something with you? I said, I don't know why, but every time you tell me a story, I just start crying. And he paused for a very long time. And I was like,
that awkward pause. I know it.
Oh, it's so awkward. And it just,
it's so uncomfortable. That's the teaching though.
Yes. And it's also like, we live in a society where we get on like instantaneous feedback. Right. So I'm like sitting there going, shit, like, did I say something wrong? Is it okay what I asked or shared? And finally, when he spoke, he said, what you're experiencing is duality. And what you see in me is something you've been searching for a very long time. And my jaw like dropped. And I look at my husband and he's like, yes, yes, she has. And I was like, oh my gosh, like something magical is happening right now. And we were kind of cleaning up because there was a bear that came into the yard where we were having this barbecue. So we were trying to like get all the food in the house. So, you know, everyone, all the kids in the house, so everyone was safe from this bear. And the night was kind of winding down. And before I left, I said, I just need to get your number. Like, can I get your number? And he said, of course. And I said, can I please take you to breakfast or lunch or dinner before you go back to Oklahoma? And we ended up spending the whole weekend together. We went out for lunch the next day. And one thing he talked about was like, new experiences. And he had me try menudo, which I had never had before. And just talked, you know, we talked about a number of things, but I did in that moment give him an offering. And I said, I don't know what this offering is for. I just feel compelled to give this to you. And it will come, I think, with time, but I just would love for you to have it because you're here in person. And when lunch was about over, I excused myself to the restroom and I just looked in the mirror and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, that is what the offering is for. So I asked him, I said, what do you call yourself? Like, I've heard you say, and I appreciate you sharing that using the word shaman is inappropriate culturally to use that. So I'm grateful for you sharing that with me because those are the things that I just don't know. And so that's the thing. Knowledge is so powerful. And when you know these things, then you can be aware to watch yourself. So I said, you call yourself a spiritual teacher, a medicine man, but a healer. But like, what do you go by? And he said, honestly, for me, what encompasses everything I do is a spiritual teacher. And so that's his, if you want to put a title label on things, I guess that's what it is. So as I was driving him back to where he was staying, I like had to muster up the courage to ask. And I just said, you know, I recognize what that offering was for. And it was to ask you if you would be my spiritual teacher. And it was a long pause.
Another long pause.
Long pause. And I was like, he's going to say no. But what ended up happening was so amazing. I was driving and he said, before I can answer your question, I need to sing you a song and you need to hold my hand and I need to you to tell me what you feel. And at first it was like, oh my goodness, I have this amazing human in my car to myself and he's singing me a native song in his native language to tune in with my energy to see if he could be my spiritual teacher. Like, what?
And it's funny because as you were, but right before you said this little part about the song, I had the awareness and reminder that these prayer songs, that's what they are, they're prayer, but it's like, It's kind of like the Ikaros with the medicine. It's activating things within you, and especially the Cheyenne, like they are known to have the really powerful healing prayers. So it's like activating codes within you. And that's why it can be one sound and then a completely different, but they somehow come together. It's like creating sacred geometry in your soul to like map what's happening. It's really beautiful. So I have shivers hearing that you had that experience.
It was so beautiful. And so, you know, I'm trying to tune in to what I'm feeling as I'm driving. And at first I felt like a lightness just kind of wash over me. And then there was a release and I started crying. The song was so beautiful. And just, he's a beautiful singer. He's actually a ranked singer in his tribe, and he's requested very often. And these are obviously all things I learned later. And then I just felt very, I felt very peaceful. I felt at peace. And so when he asked, you know, what did you feel? And that's what I shared with him. He said, well, the song that I sang you was the song of enlightenment. And I go, so I passed my first test. And we kind of laughed about it. But, and then that's when, you know, he shared with me that, yes, but what that means then is at any given moment, he will call me and say, you need to be at ceremony here on these dates. And it's not an ask, like, does it work in your schedule? It's a, it works in your schedule and you make it happen. And so that part of it was, like I had shared with you before we got on, was a little like scary, but also like very exhilarating. And I'm really just truly trusting the process. And he's been a very important, I mean, that was just since May. So I've only known him for, you know, 3 months, but he came in during my ayahuasca ceremony numerous times. He calls me Rachel Ann, which, you know, by the podcast, it stemmed from my initials, which Rachel Ann, R-A, Rich Authentically Aligned. And in the song that played during ceremony, I had my head like right by the music. It sounded like the song, it was a native song. It's actually a Lakota song, and it's the peyote healing song, which I later found out after I, you know, received information from Mother Aya. But it sounded like it said JJ, and then it sounds like they say Rachel Ann. At least that was my perception of it. And I was like laughing because I was like, of course you're coming in here to help guide me through this process. And just there were, you know, there were a number of things that he showed me and shared with me during that ceremony. And we talked actually just last week about that. Yeah, it just, so that's how I really have started the feeling like, okay, I'm really now getting somewhere with my lineage. And one thing too that Mother Aya told me is that I am an earth keeper and I am one that walks with the land. And
have you heard of this amazing new granola that's on the shelves? This granola is forage granola. So many of you have listened to episode 84 of the Live Your Raw Life podcast, where I was so honored to be able to interview Parker from Forage Granola. And we had such a beautiful conversation about all things mushrooms. So I was in search of a new granola. And my husband says to me one night, Rachel, look at, there's a mushroom granola. Do you want to order it? And I was like, what are the flavors? And he reads them off to me. And I was like, I don't know which one to choose. And he was like, let's get them all. And I thought that's a great idea. So we ordered up the bundle and it was literally love at first bite. It was just the perfect blend. It is crispy, not hard. Like it doesn't cut up your mouth crunchy. And it checked all the boxes of everything that I was looking for in a granola. It was super low in sugar. It was made with actual clean ingredients that I can pronounce on the back of the ingredients label. And as a bonus, it contains adaptogenic benefits, giving people more energy and focus. Personally, I experienced, yes, an increased energy level, yes, a heightened focus, but I also received a calmer peace of mind. And for me, who has a very busy brain, that was exactly what I was needing. I was so excited. Now, there are three different flavors to the Forage granola: vanilla almond, sunflower seed cacao, and my favorite, original cinnamon. You can get your own Forage granola into your pantry today with this exclusive discount code. It is LIVERAW15, that is LIVERAW15, for 15% off any purchase besides subscriptions. Again, that's LIVERAW15, LIVERAW15, for 15% off. Get the Forage granola into your pantry today.
I had this very beautiful experience, and I feel it's very appropriate to share it here. Our adopted son is from Puerto Rico, and there is a lot of racism and cultural misunderstandings with Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of heartbreak for the indigenous people of that island. And I learned so much from being with him and learning about, you know, his history and his lineage. And during ceremony, she told me to go for a walk, and it was raining out. And so I was like, okay. And they always have someone with you. You're never left alone with the medicine. And so this gentleman was amazing. He was such a beautiful space holder for me. I said, he goes, where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. She just told me to go for a walk. So I'm out here, and I was kind of walking underneath the eaves of the lodge. And then I got to the end, and I was just looking up and like watching the rain fall down. And as the rain was coming down, she told me that I needed to go walk in the grass. And if I was barefoot, and I don't care to get wet. I'm sweet, but I'm not that sweet. Like, I'm not going to melt. And so I was ready to just go all in until this like angel came over with an umbrella and gave it to the volunteer that was with me. And I said, I need to go stand in the grass over there, and just like feeling the earth beneath my feet and the water and the grass squishing between my toes was absolutely magical. And in that moment, it was so profound, because what ended up happening for the rest of the night actually was something would come into my awareness, and she would take me through a story. And how I ended my first story is how every other story ended. And it comes all the way back to what I talked about in episode number one of this podcast, about how we are all interconnected and we're all one. It doesn't matter race, it doesn't matter gender, religion, none of it matters. We're all one. And when my family moved to Glenwood Springs during COVID, I've been saying since I've been there, I said, I just can't land. I don't feel like I'm at home. I don't feel grounded. And I've been trying to do my grounding practices, and I haven't been able to. But in that moment when I was standing in the grass, I was just kind of like, you know, very sturdy, steady foundation. And I had roots grow out from my feet, and I felt them, and I saw and watched them go to the center of the earth. And that's where she told me, you are a keeper of the earth. And it just like, it was kind of like an explosion of all of these memories of how I am so one with nature. And it explains why I love nature so much, and why I truly do what I can to protect her, because we have to. She's our home, and what is her home and is my home is your home. But knowing it's like connected to my body in that way through the roots of my feet, which then brought me to our adopted son, you know, knowing that, yes, like you said, we're not blood, but we are. I mean, we have allowed each other to heal in ways that nobody else could. And I looked back, you know, I grew up in northern Minnesota with a very conservative Catholic or Lutheran, doesn't matter, background. And there was a ton of racism around me. We had one Black person in our whole high school. And I know that he was picked on from so many people. And just as in my home, like my dad would tell me these horrible jokes and I would laugh because I would think that's how I can be connected to my dad. And it hurt me. It crushed me every time I would laugh at his racist or sexist jokes. And it, in the medicine, that's where I went. I went to that and I call it, my mom used to call them alligator tears, but they truly were alligator tears. Like these huge, they felt like bouncy balls just falling from my eyes and bouncing off my arms and becoming one with the rain and in the ground. And I was crying for all the times that I had judged people based on my own learned behavior and upbringing and taken that on as my own story when in reality, it's not my story. And how at times I did judge our adopted son, and we've had this conversation and it was very healing for us. But what she showed me is we literally are one. Mm-hmm. Everything is one. So that's a long sordid story on the journey of, you know, working with my spiritual teacher. But then I feel like it does kind of culminate, you know, Native, Puerto Rican, you know, any culture, any way of being, of living, it really is all so connected. And it's when we can truly love and accept one another just simply for who we are and for where we've come from is the goal. That really is.
Yeah, I mean, I really love, well, thank you for sharing all of that. It was so eloquent. And, you know, even though there were many pieces to the story, I do believe that it flowed really, really beautifully. So thank you. And I'm really enjoying where this conversation has gone, because there was actually something that you said that I wanted to ask you about, but then I heard my own inner knowing just being like, you know, you're not going to need to ask her for this question. You're going to see the answer. And I've gotten it. And that question goes all the way back to the beginning of the story where you were like, I was met with this when you went to ask for the lighter and you were met with the same resistance. And now you finally figured out why. And this touches and kind of loops back with what you finished with understanding the colonization and peyote and the Native American way, like this red road, like it's very serious. One of my teachers likes to say, you know, this is serious to us, but we don't need to be serious people. Because, and it's a lot of medicine, and I'm not speaking about like, you know, physical, like peyote medicine, but a lot of tough medicine that a lot of people aren't humble enough to receive, because it's the way of integrity. It's the way of humbleness. It's the way of honoring one another. And part of that is correcting the colonization that has taken up, even me and you, as people who hold these lineages, like we've even full-blooded, like, you know, there is colonization that takes place. And, you know, so what I'm seeing in the answer to that question was your humbleness and your humility that wasn't there in the past, that is there now. Because a lot of people, and, you know, you touched on how we romanticize and fetishize these culture, and I've experienced that in myself, especially, you know, with other people on this journey with me who maybe don't hold the lineages I do. There's been projected jealousy and all these things, and I had to really learn to transmute my frustration and anger into compassion and love, and see that they're just interested and ignorant to what that really means. But you've woken up to like, wow, it's not just the magic and the connection to the earth, but it's also the generational trauma and the generational karma that you wouldn't wish upon anyone. And now you're truly understanding that. And so you can be received by these medicine people and these Native Americans because you're honoring them with your energy and with your understanding of what you, even your people, have been through. And it's interesting as well, because a couple like connections that I've seen in your story is that when you were with the medicine, you went into the earth and you were connected to the earth. And then while you were talking to this man, a bear came into the space, and bear medicine is known to be like the bear hibernates. And the bear is the one who goes and talks to the divine mother at the center of the earth. It is that introverted. It is that, you know, the bear has the drum and learns the songs for Mother Earth. And so the fact that that bear came back is such profound messaging and symbology, and more than just symbology, but like messengers of, you know, from the earth. And then as well, you know, even with how your stepmother, no, your mother who was adopted, she was, I'm not sure of her own understanding of her lineages. And, you know, I'm sure it's all natural wisdom, right? So it's the fact that she says this isn't random because her soul knew, but the alligators, they're the ancestors. You know, and so the fact that she was like, they're alligator tears. And then you even said, I don't know where these tears are coming from, but they have to be cried. It's like the tears of your ancestors. And so it's not just like, oh, I feel guilt and shame over the times that I was taught to be racist, but there was this deep sorrow because it went so against your own soul's karma and your own soul's traditions. And so, yeah, I'm just like simply like I'm sitting here just like blown away with all of the, I don't even want to call it synchronicity because it's not, it is synchronistic, but it's not like, oh my God, this cool thing happened. What are the chances? It's like, no, it inevitably happened because you've opened your, you've shifted the veil. Mm-hmm. And now everything is in unison. And it's not just like, you know, while you were speaking, I got distracted for a moment because there was a hummingbird who came. That's all about feminine independence and healing and, you know, cross cult, like the hummingbird is the one who is the keeper of these medicines because she pollinates the different. And so it was just like everything becomes this one living, breathing organism. And yeah, like I'm just ecstatic that this is something that's in your life. I also want to thank you for, and, you know, even the way you dealt with me very quietly texting you, like, you know, the word shaman is a culturally inappropriate word. You know, it's not about you're wrong and you have to feel something bad about it, but it's like we've been taught to colonize, we've been taught to be lazy. And it's, you know, these red road medicine ways, like they say, it's important that you pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that's really how you learn. You know, so you notice those long pauses, you notice the looks, you notice, like, you know, the things that are shared. Right. And you, without feeling guilt or shame about it, you take that information and you simply transmute that thing in you. And that's it. It's only love and compassion. Like they all, like, these are the ways of beauty, you know, these are beauty ways, but the reason they can be so beautiful is because there's so much humbleness and humility where there's no room for guilt and shame. It's just about being better, doing better, walking a more beautiful, integral path with everyone, including ourselves. So this conversation was so wonderful, and I feel so honored to have, you know, chimed in and held space for you. And, you know, people are listening, so they can't see, but even your energy and your essence and, you know, just everything about you, it feels really clear. And I just have nothing but joy and excitement for you, really. And it's great because I'm sure now we'll get to pray together. You invite me up to your prayer, I'll be there.
Thank you.
You'll find that these circles run small, and you'll find family all over the world.
Yes, for sure. And that was another thing that she told me, was peyote is my medicine. And so I know that that's coming, and that's going to be the next leg in the plant medicine journey.
Yeah, it's a way of life. This is it. And one of my teachers recently told me that it's important, and I think I mentioned this earlier, it's like really important that medicine people who walk these ways, they don't just walk these ways, they vigilantly live these ways.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah.
So thank you for your stories. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your courage to be who your ancestors prayed for you to be.
Yeah. And on that note, I do want to share this because this was super interesting. I was actually supposed to take the medicine the weekend prior to when I took it. And I follow astrology. I love astrology. It's my little roadmap for the week. I listen to a few astrological for weather forecasts. And what I had learned was the week I was originally supposed to take it, the astrology aligned with extra excrement. And I was like, oh man, that means there's going to be like extra vomiting and like all the sweating or shitting my pants or whatever, you know, comes with ayahuasca. And I didn't change it because of that. I had actually changed it prior for some other reasons. And then the weekend that I ended up taking the medicine, the way that the astrology was explained to me in one of the podcasts that I listened to was, it was the weekend, that Saturday specifically, was communing with the ancestors. And I was like really excited about that, but again, went in with no expectations. And what ended up happening was so unbelievably beautiful. My dad's mom, my grandma, was a second mom to me. And on Saturday night, she came in and I just cried and cried for not getting to say goodbye and everything she did. And I knew that I needed to sit up and we needed to heal something. And so I let the tears flow, and the music really shifts you. And so when the music shifted, I knew it was time to sit up and honor her. And we did. And I had a certain stone that I knew I needed to hold, and we held hands and we healed on a very profound level. And it brought in many other people within our family that I had some healing work to do with them, and they have either passed or we no longer communicate. And so it was really lovely. And then after that, my grandfather, so her husband, came in. And my grandpa, he used to dance this very specific dance with all of his granddaughters at their wedding. Well, I didn't have a traditional wedding, and so I didn't get the dance. And in that moment, we were dancing and laughing, and he loved the casino, and he'd always go play blackjack. And so we were playing blackjack. And then I said, you know, and when I say these things, it was all in my mind, right? It's just this communication that's happening. And I said, are you ready, Grandpa? And he goes, I'm ready. And I had the honor and privilege to heal with him. And at one point, it was very clear that what we were healing was the divine feminine within him. And I needed support because it was heavy. It was big work. And the facilitator who was in my lodge with me, I positioned myself right by them. Now I understand why, but I reached out for her hand. She's very, very powerful, very beautiful woman. And I just said, I need your hand. And I squeezed her hand with, I'm sure she's like, oh my gosh, when is this going to be over? Because she's squeezing my hand so tight. But I could just feel the energy surging through and healing. And I knew that what was healing in him was also healing not only with my dad, but also with my siblings and just myself. And so it was just this big collective. And I could feel instantly like that it was just over. It was like the work had been done. And when I integrated the next day with my facilitator, I was just like so humbled. You know, you're talking about being humbled, and that's one thing this medicine will do, is it will humble you to the core, but just so humbled that they chose me. They allowed me to be that and to contribute to the healing in the generation. You know, you brought up that generational healing, and there was so much trauma that I'm not even privy to, but I know some of it. And it really was an honor to be able to hold space for them in that way. And there's a lot of people, you know, that might hear this and they might be like, okay, this is like, this girl has lost her marbles. But it's so real. It's so real when you get into that space and when you experience that on such a deep level, It's really beautiful. So I thank you. I needed to share that because that goes along with everything that we talked about, you know, the ancestors, the lineage, and what started, what happens, you know, with my family as far as race and culture goes, stems back. And so that's all connected and woven in together as well. So yeah, it was very, very beautiful.
Well, I'm excited and I can't wait to see how this unfolds for you. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are feeling the same. So I want to thank you for your vulnerability and your truth and all your healing. And again, just say what an honor it was to hold space for this conversation and just allow you to share and to be on the other side of this microphone. You know, everyone has their wisdom and stories that needs to go out into the world. So I'm honored that you chose me. So thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I so appreciate it.
Heal yourself, heal the world. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you are listening on YouTube or any other podcast platform, I greatly appreciate your support. If something in this episode resonated with you, please like and subscribe to the Live Your Raw Life channel or podcast and leave a review while you're there. Your time, energy, and support is greatly appreciated. Sending light, love, and positive energy your way. We'll see you next week.